morning, everybody. Welcome to this session, HIV/AIDS along the facing the U.S.-Mexico border. And my presentation is Eat Well, Live Well with HIV/AIDS along the U.S.-Mexico border, a nutrition promotora training program. My name is Carla Torres, and welcome. That's the program logo. It was co-sponsored with a small grant from the San Diego Nutrition Network, and it's part of the San Isidro Health Center Casa South Bay program. Some of the objectives of what we'll be discussing today is we're going to describe a culturally appropriate disease-specific nutrition program along the U.S.-Mexico border. We're going to try and recognize the emerging role of HIV/AIDS as a chronic disease. Describe the vital importance of nutrition during all stages of HIV/AIDS. Discuss the impact of culture, food, and stigma, and the stigma of HIV/AIDS. Discuss the Eat Well, Live Well program outcomes. Increase awareness for the needs of nutrition programs for all people living with HIV/AIDS. So first we're going to start with some history. Again, this program is part of the San Isidro Health Center, and the San Isidro Health Center is located along the border with Tijuana and San Isidro. So we're virtually the last stop before you cross over to Mexico, and we're located at one of the busiest international border crossings. Our health center has was created by the community and has been in the community for close to 40 years. Most of the staff that works there is bicultural, bilingual, which has a unique flavor to the clinic. And so all of these issues are important when we decided to come up with this program. Here, close to 42 million northbound crossings every year. And here are some of the statistics of our program so you can know our population. We're predominantly males. It's 80% of our patient population, mostly Hispanic, 91%. No insurance, around 80%. The age group is 64% is between 25 and 44 years of age. The risk factor that's predominant is men having sex with men, followed by heterosexual risk factors. So nutrition in the care of people living with HIV, it is the position of the American Dietetic Association and the Dietitians of Canada that efforts to optimize nutritional status, including medical nutrition therapy, assurance of food, and nutrition security, nutrition education, are essential components of the total health care available to people living with the human immunodeficiency virus infection throughout the continuum of care. So it's part of the total health care package that should be offered to people living with HIV. A brief background on our program. The San Isidro Come Bien, Vive Bien, or Eat Well, Live Well program, intent was to offer access to a culturally and linguistically competent nutrition education program that included a component of healthy cooking classes. The program was meant to teach nutrition promotoras how to reduce, substitute, or eliminate the reliance on unhealthy ingredients such as lard, and provide hands-on experience on healthier alternatives when preparing traditional Mexican dishes. Participants learned how to reduce the fat in their diets by substituting lard with other animal fats such as canola oil. In addition to learning the value of traditional vegetables, we tried to experiment with different sorts of vegetables to have them try things that they might not be used to get a healthier twist on some Mexican recipes. And the importance of this program was to help get our population into that vision that HIV has evolved into a chronic disease. Although we've heard the statistics that patients do access care at later stages, we have a good number of our program participants that have been living with HIV for a while now, and They have to learn and make the adjustments of living with this chronic disease. And now nutrition plays a very important role in helping them have that long, healthy life that we want for them. So that's why nutrition is such an important component. And just getting the message of healthy living was why we wanted to get this program going. With Latinos, we know they have the highest rates of obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. And then you add on the factor of HIV, the risk is very enormous. So our patient population is dealing with HIV, dealing with diabetes, high blood pressure, and hyperlipidemia. So they have a lot on their plate. And nutrition is something that they could take on and do by themselves and take control of their own lives and handle the future of what's coming. In order to stabilize and maintain their health once enrolled in care, nutrition is offered as part of the services in the medical care. So it's a big part of the care we offer to our patients. So this was an additional component where it was just a fun program. Eating is always fun. So when you're eating around, you have a good environment, you have people you know, you feel safe, and then you're eating good. It makes for a good time. And that's what we had. We had a really good time during this program. What we know is that many of our patients and participants had a lack of knowledge of how to make their traditional recipes a little bit better. No? So talking about healthier ingredients and alternatives was important. What can we actually get if we have a patient eat better or take nutrition, get the concept of nutrition? Well, we can prevent or delay the loss of muscle, tissue, or wasting. We can strengthen their immune system, reduce viral mutations, decrease the incidence and severity of opportunistic infections and hospitalizations, and lessen the debilitating symptoms of HIV/AIDS. At the end point, is we think we can increase survival. With the newfound chronicity, you will have patients that might be doing really well for a period of time, but then might come up upon an opportunistic infection that may cause diarrhea or may cause lack of appetite or nausea. So learning the concepts that we taught our promotoras was to help them deal with the ups and downs that may come with HIV. So we talked about how to deal with that lack of appetite, things that you could do, eat small meals more frequently, avoid strong odors, and things, concepts that they could apply and would be easy for them to help them cope with their everyday life. So do you recognize any of these foods? Aguas frescas, tacos, ceviches, pico de gallo, champurrado, tamales, carnitas, sopes, albóndigas, quesadillas, atole, calientitos, capirotada, flautas. Okay, I got everybody hungry right now. But it's important. The main thing is we have traditional dishes that we don't even think might pose a danger to our patient population. But if you're living with HIV/AIDS and you have a CD4 that might be lower, you're at risk, for example, if you're drinking aguas frescas out in the street, you cross the border to Tijuana or anywhere, not just Tijuana, where you don't know the origin of the water, how safe that water is. If it's filtered water, there's a special type of filter that you need to have water be safe for someone who has a very low immune system or a low CD4. And then, for example, ceviche, it's something that I talk to my patients constantly. It's raw fish that's supposedly cooked with lemon, but it's not really cooked, right? So it's dangerous for our patients to eat. So we talk about other options instead of ceviche. So those kinds of things, knowing about traditional dishes is important, and what you can do when you're living with HIV, I think empowered our patients. So what were the specific program goals? To train peers and community leaders within the HIV community as nutrition promotores or promotoras, teach nutrition promotoras basic nutrition concepts and how to prepare traditional Latino recipes in a healthier way, prepare the nutrition promotoras to help facilitate nutrition workshops that would be offered to people living with HIV, and empower the nutrition promotoras to have an active voice in advocating for nutrition programs as part of the continuum of care that's offered to all people living with HIV. So it's how can you expect someone to advocate for a program that they don't know, or they don't know the potential it has to help them? So having this nutrition program help them see what learning about nutrition could do for them. So the Come Bien, Vive Bien, Eat While, Live Well cooking curriculum was designed for Latinos living with HIV along the U.S.-Mexico border. Having all those elements that we talked about, we have a population that goes back and forth, has access to traditional ingredients, and may not know that some foods may pose a risk. So we had to keep that in mind. It's monolingual Spanish-speaking population. We taught them as part of the individual nutrition curriculum. We published a few months back a nutrition developing nutrition curriculums for HIV positives living along the U.S.-Mexico border. So this is part of that curriculum, and it's meant as another way to reinforce the key concepts. You know, to learn something, you need to repetition in different ways. So that's why we thought this was an important thing to do. And the promotoras, the peer advocates, was to empower them, another way to empower them with knowledge that could actually help their health. This is the paper, The Acceptance of the Nutrition Curriculum. The co-authors, I have two of my co-authors here, Mari Zúñiga and Rosana Scolari, and they contributed to this being published in the Journal of Transcultural Nursing. So again, the Come Bien, Vive Bien program, the concept is 10 sessions, 5 nutrition classes, and 5 cooking classes. So first you had a nutrition class that they learned, and part of those classes, we had lots of games and prizes, and so we learned concepts, we learned about food groups, we learned about portion size, and these concepts were followed up in the cooking class. At the cooking class, we actually took a measuring cup and actually knew what half a cup looked like. So that's really important. You learn something, but once you do it, it's more increased probability that that concept might be actually taken in. So that's why we thought the two components were really important. We had a small group, about 6 to 8 participants, and the program had a duration of about 2 months. So once a week, we either had a theory class or a cooking class. So what did we actually do? In the cooking classes, we prepared breakfast. Like, we did a variety of recipes, from chilaquiles to pancakes to a number of different recipes. In lunch, we did some albóndigas, cactus salads. For dinner, sopes, quesadillas, taquitos, dessert, flan, refrescos, licuados and shakes and things like that, some appetizers, and they had a duration about more close to the 120 minutes. So it took some time. So we divided up into small groups, and I think that's the next slide. So in the cooking class, participants were divided into teams to prepare the different recipes. The table was set up beautifully. We had everything, all the colors you could imagine on that table. So it was something that you wanted to sit down to, because it was just looked so nice, like a party. So each of the teams would then present the recipe that they prepared and talk to us, talk to the group, if that was a recipe that they would actually prepare at home. If there was a variation, what were the variations from that traditional recipe? Did they like it? Did the group like it? So we got into discussions about calories, portion size, and fat. So important, a very important component of making this program happen was the California Latino 5-A-Day campaign. The mission of the 5-A-Day Latino campaign is to have adults consume 5 servings or more of fruits and vegetables and to be physically active for at least 30 minutes. We were lucky enough to get the cookbooks from the Latino 5-A-Day. We got t-shirts, we got drinking bottles, we had lots of little gifts that were all free. So they became incentives for the promotoras to have all the prizes that came with from the Latino 5-A-Day. So we had a really small budget. It was $5,000. This year it's getting smaller to $3,000, but the California Latino 5-A-Day was a big part of making this happening. that's kind of what our table looked like. Okay, so. So one of the teaching concept that was used in the cooking classes was the sobremesa. And that's something we do most every time if you're Latino. You spend time after your meal socializing, and you're waiting for your food to start digesting. So it's that time where you talk and you just ate, and it's really relaxing. It's a wonderful time to learn some new things. So that's what we decided to do. So the sobremesa, we talked about the specific nutrition messages that I wanted them to take home. We, like I mentioned before, we talked about the variations from the traditional dish, the accessibility of the ingredients. I wanted to make sure that I was giving them recipes that they would go home and prepare, actually. I wasn't talking to them about something they would never want to prepare for their family or thought was too strange or wouldn't work for them. Talked about how much that would probably cost. So we talked about local prices, about the market for the ingredients. What else could you serve that dish with? How would you accompany that dish? And discussed if they had any other ideas for variations from that recipe. Again, we talked about serving size, calories, fat, total carbohydrate, and fiber. And these concepts are really hard when you're monolingual Spanish speaking and the food labels are in English. So we try to practice and have these become familiar words. So we brought in items from home that you would buy when you went grocery shopping and try to look at those labels and just practice, repetition, and because I think these concepts, again, are difficult to learn. Here's an example, the cactus salad, and that's actually the salad that was prepared, and they took really great pride in how they presented those dishes. Those dishes look beautiful. You just wanted to eat everything because we talked about how the eye would simulate the appetite, so they did a great job. Let me go. That's the ceviche that we did with shrimp that was already cooked. You could have other variations where you could prepare it with canned tuna, or you could also prepare it with soy. So there's a couple examples that you don't really have to expose yourself to raw ceviche, to the dangers of ceviche, when you could actually prepare it and it could be just so very good and tasty. Vegetable quesadillas, and that's another option. So we eat a lot of quesadillas. Let's take the opportunity to add some vegetables into that. So they added a variety of vegetables, and you can see the colors coming through. At the end of the sessions, of the 10 sessions, we actually had a graduation ceremony, which was another learning opportunity because they brought in their family members. Because they were graduating as promotoras, they had big certificates, and it was a ceremony, and they prepared the dishes. It was a party. It was a huge party. Should have been there. No. It was really, really a beautiful moment, and we got to have the family taste test some of the dishes that we prepared. So, again, we got to teach other family members of why it's important to eat healthier. They talked, the group presented for their graduation, as part of the test, they presented the dish to the audience, which included families, peers, and staff. So it was a really great time. The veggie bean wrap. And some of the program outcomes, we trained 9 peer advocates, 6 females, 1 transgender, and 2 males as nutrition promotoras. The overall participants showed a 21% increase in their knowledge regarding proper nutrition and food preparation. The participants' pre-test average score was 67%, and the post-test average was 87% score. So we got an increase that was significant. But on August 30th, the graduation ceremony was co-facilitated with a nutrition presentation and food tasting that I was talking to you about. And then finally on September 20th, we actually, 5 of the newly trained nutrition promotoras catered a dinner program for a prevention for positives group. We prepared healthy enchiladas, which were really good, and even the program director tasted, and we were really successful. And because of that success, we were asked to cater another event, so we catered on March 31st of this year. 9 promotoras participated in preparing a dinner for the celebration of the support group Nueva Vida anniversary, and it was about over 50 guests, and the food was really good. And again, no sodas were allowed. It was only water. We had fruits. We had vegetables. It was a really good meal. And so I think we're the second phase would be getting a little bit more money to look into having the promotoras do home visits and look into helping other people regarding their diabetes, which I actually have kept meeting with the promotoras on a monthly basis to keep teaching them concepts so they don't forget, because it's easy to forget if you don't practice. And that's it. Thank you so much.